Think about so many other things. And he says, I want you to be careful to not only focus on it to the point where you're understanding it, and then you make that step to actually do it, so that you may be careful to do. And this is where I want you to understand something. One deception that Satan gives us is that if I know something, that's all I need to do. I just need to know it. We were talking to a woman yesterday in one of the booths at Herndon Festival, and she was selling a product that I was like, I genuinely said, I think I might need to have some information on that. And after we talked a while, I had enough affinity with her where I said, hey, two of the kids I'm working with here are talking to people about the gospel and whatnot. Can they come talk to you? And she said, sure. So as she started into it, she started, I thought, wow, I think she's a Christian. And then she got to the point where we were asking her, what does you need to do to go to heaven? And she said, well, you really need to be good, and you need to go to church, and all these other things. And if you are here and you understand God's promise, it's us going to heaven does not relate to what I do, because I will never be able to pay off my sin. The issue is not how bad I am. The issue is who's paying for it. And thanks be to God that when he died on the cross and he said it is finished, he paid for it all. And his offer to us is saying, do you want that? Do you want that payment? Or are you going to keep trying to do it yourself? And the tough thing is, she knew a lot about Jesus. She knew a lot, but it didn't mean that she got to the point where she actually did that do step, which said, Jesus, come in. I take that gift. There's a transaction with salvation. At one point that I don't know Jesus, I'm not born again, I say to God, come in, and God by his word says, I'm in. I have forgiven. You pass from death to life. And then I am a Christian. There's a transactional aspect. The same thing is true about all the scriptures you know. You know I need to honor and obey my parents. That's great. How are you doing with that? When you take that truth and you think about how does that really work out, it means I honor God in the position of my parents, even when they're imperfect and wrong and I don't understand them. God says I still need to honor and obey them. And that's where knowing isn't a replacement for doing. You must live out what you know for it to really impact you. For then, talks about that there's a fruit. If you will obey, but it's delayed. It will not happen right away. It's delayed. You will. And you'll notice I highlighted you in all of these, in this verse. Look at all the you. There's a reason why, and I'll tell you in a minute. Make your way prosperous and have success. How did God make the promise that if you meditate, you'll be successful? Card punch. How does God make that promise? Anybody over here? Group four. Any clues? Yes. That's a big one. Yeah, like if I stop doing all the things that I'm really going against God, God might have a chance to actually bless me. Yeah, absolutely. Anything else? You guys are shy this morning. I know it's because all the freshmen, actually the scary people are the freshmen. You're intimidated by the freshmen coming in today. All right, here's something I want you to think about. When you meditate, it starts changing the way you think, which then starts starting to change your perceptions and your values. And then it starts changing your actions. As God starts changing those things, he starts replacing them with his thoughts, his desires, his passions. And as you take on his passions and living out his truth, God says, my greatest desire is I want to bless my kids. You will never outgive me. Test me out, he says. I want to show you that I'm real, that I have power. But when we live a life that basically tells God to take a hike and we're going our own way, we never get to see that. Meditating is part of that change where it's, as it comes into my life, I actually get to taste the fruit of obedience, which is really, really cool. And that's what I want. And here's my challenge to you. God says he'll make you successful. It has nothing to do with your grades. It has nothing to do with your stress. He says, if you'll let me change you, yes, I want you to be a good student. But I want you to focus on my thoughts in your mind, in your words coming out of your mouth, breathing into your life, the life I have for you. I will make you successful, but you have a role in that. So how do we apply it? Number one, I'm commanded to verbalize the word of God in my life. I need to start claiming it in the sense of, even when I'm, yesterday when we were going to go out to share Christ, one of the things I remind myself is, you know what, I'm not going out there alone. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll bring to your mind the things that you need to say. And I take courage. I need to verbalize the Word of God in my life. I need to discern with it, praise God with it, encourage others, exhort others, teach others, and pray it back to God. I need to discuss it with others to figure out what in the world does this mean. I need to remind myself and others of the promises, commands, and warnings God gives us. I need to speak truth in all situations, acknowledging God is there and He will act. I need help, as I verbalized, to even understand what it means. Secondly, the things that I am fully pursuing in my mind are what are taking hold of me. The bottom line is, we are all thinking about something. And in high school, I can give you a short list of guesses of what most people are thinking about. And God says, I want you to change what you're thinking about. I want you to bring in my word. And if you make it a focus, it will start being something that you're thinking on. What I focus on through the day is ultimately what I think will give me life or be successful, make me successful. It is not enough to dabble in the Word of God. God is raising the bar. And He says, I want you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to let me talk to you and breathe life into you. And meditating lets me get there and do that. Third, be careful to do and not just hear. Thinking that that's, or no. And that's actually the bottom line, the parable of where God talks about building your house on sand or a rock. It's really easy to build your house on sand. That's where you hear and you just kind of go with the flow. That is most Christians. Is that you? It's harder. If you've ever, in my backyard, we extended my deck and my boys and I thought, how hard can it be to go 4 feet in the ground? No big deal. Well, it was not bad for a couple inches. And then it started getting hard and then it got really hard. And then it was like discouragingly hard. We were picking at it with every kind of tool we could. We even rented things. It was crazy. Well, here's the deal. God says, if you dig into rock, it will be hard. And He likens that to hearing and doing. He's with you. He's saying it's hard to live out the Word of God. But He says, when you do, your foundation will not be shaken because life is going to come against you. Freshman, in this year, it could be challenging or it could be the best year of your life. Part of it's going to depend on whether you've got foundations that are into the God and into His Word. And He says, if you build your house on the rock, it'll stand. It says, it gives the promise, everything I do will prosper. It is the blessing of God. If I'm letting God's Word take root in my life and lead me, He will bless me. And here's the thing I want to ask. If you know God has given you that promise, why wouldn't you write that down and go, I'm living, I'm banking on that. In the world of finances, if somebody tells your parents, hey, this is a great stock, it's going to go through the roof. Move money there. A lot of people do that. God's saying to you, in your life, move life on this promise and start taking this promise seriously. Here's the bottom line, and this is why I circled you in all those verses. We're talking about you owning your faith. You are the one who will determine, not your parents. This is a transition time from your parents to your faith. And so on that verse, when He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. It's not meaning you're the author of the success. It means you're engaging in taking God at His word to the point where you are living it. There is no one who can help you live it but you. At this stage of the game, mom is not going to help your Christian life go further. It's time for you to pick that one up and go, this is mine. I will get in the word. I will take it seriously. It'll start changing the way I live, the way I think, the way I talk. One thing that discourages me is the way some of you talk when you're not around your parents or other people in four-letter varieties. And I was with you. When I became a Christian, I cussed really, really well. My dad trained me well. To the point when I was in Christian school, I said it at an inappropriate time and got the whooping of my life, okay? But at Herndon High School, I had a very good vocabulary. When I trusted Christ, for some reason, it just started feeling like gravel in my mouth, and I just didn't like it. God says, I want you to start taking hold of it and go, I'm going to be as spiritual as I want to be. I want my life to reflect. We just did a series on Daniel where he said, I will not defile myself. That's him taking charge, saying, I want to define me, not my culture, not my friends. I want to determine who I'm going to be. And that is a right way to look at yourself and fight for yourself. It's easy to continue on with your parents' faith, but now you need to own it. Following Jesus and living it out is a daily cost. It's not a big sacrificial cost. It's what I'm thinking about every day. Will you take that? And lastly, the decision you need to make is, do you believe what God says when he says, when you meditate on the Word of God, that's what will bring you success? It's time for you to start meditating on the Word of God every day and throughout the day to the point where it starts showing up in your life and helping each other do that together. I would encourage you to take this 3x5 card home today. Keep meditating on it. I would challenge you during this week, find another verse, write it on a 3x5 card, start meditating on it. I want to give you an open invitation. I would love to hear from any of you as you meditate on Scripture. Come here on a Sunday morning, Wednesday night and say, Bob, I got something I was meditating on. I will give you my full attention. I want to hear what God's saying to you. That's where the Bible gets real. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. It is awesome to have 5 classes here under one roof. I thank you for our freshmen, God. I pray you'll help them realize that we value them equally with all classes. They have a role equal with every other one. And actually, Lord, they have an advantage. As they go into high school this year, they have a greater opportunity to love on their friends and to share them truth before they get hardened through the 4 years of high school. And God, I pray you'd help them to be bold. I pray that you would help them to love the way you love us. And I pray, Lord, that you give them your confidence that they need to fear nothing other than not following you. And God, I pray that you would just bless our time as we continue to hang out, continue to talk. But Lord, over these next 4 years, I pray that you'd help them see that you are big and you're powerful enough to lead them and to bless them in all that you choose and lead them to do. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.